Aloha and welcome to As You Wish Talk Radio. This is Ashley. I'm not actually sitting in for James tonight. I'm here to introduce an interview that James did just a few weeks ago while he was still in Australia with Ethan Fox of Awake and Empowered TV. James was actually Ethan's guest on his radio show, but James was so impressed with how the conversation went that as James is still traveling for the next couple of weeks, he asked me to get this interview ready and set up for a two-part. So you'll be listening to James and Ethan Fox discuss the state of affairs in this dimension and dimensions beyond, with the first part playing tonight and the second part airing next Saturday, March 19th. So sit back and enjoy.
Thank you for joining me for another episode of Awaken and Power TV. I'm your host, Ethan Fox. Today I'm joined by James Gilliland. James has been with me a couple of times on the show over the years, and we have him on the show today because he's going to be appearing at our upcoming Awaken and Power Expo, which is just 1 week away, March 18th through the 20th in Detroit, Michigan, at the beautiful Westin Book Cadillac. We have some pretty incredible people from including James and Laura Eisenhower, Dr. Dream, Freddie Silva, Michaela Sheldon, Kevin Ryan, quite a few others that you don't want to miss. And we have a brand new Galactivation event with Dr. Dream, 330 Tibetan bowls, a sound immersion experience has never been done before and that he's never done before, that will be happening for the first time at this expo at the Friday night event. So join us for that if you can. In this conversation with James, we talk about quite a variety of subjects, from the Anunnaki to what's happening in the global financial and governmental system, as well as the Aboriginals that he visited with while he was in Australia and what they had to share with him about the origins of the human civilization. So quite a lot of interesting topics we covered today. So without any further delay, here's James Gilliland. Hello, James. Welcome to Awaken and Power TV. It's a pleasure to have you with me yet again. We've been together a few times, you on my show and vice versa, and I appreciate you taking the time to be with us again today. Thank you. Where are you calling from? Where are you calling from this time?
I'm in Maui, actually. I just got back from a tour to Japan and Australia. Actually, and there they say Australia, they don't say ah. It's kind of funny. But it was kind of whirlwind tour, and was there for 3 months in Australia, and met with a lot of the Aboriginal elders and brought back some information that's just off the charts.
Well, I want to hear about that in a few minutes. Now, you're going to be coming to Detroit very soon for the third Awaken Empowered Expo. And you're doing a couple of presentations here. We have quite an incredible lineup of people there, some who you're quite familiar with, I'm sure. You're doing a lecture, I believe, on Saturday, and then a workshop on Sunday. Can you tell us about the lecture? What kind of things are you going to be covering then?
Well, I'm going to be covering everything from the higher dimensional realities to the Anunnaki and their role in what's happening right now, and their role in the ancient past. Going to be covering just a little bit of everything. It depends on the group, but I'll probably cover some of the what's happening with the Golden Dragon, and you know, the latest updates on that. There's just a whole lot of stuff I'm going to be covering, so hopefully I can get it all into the lecture.
Sounds very fascinating. And I know this workshop we added on Sunday was by popular demand. It's certainly on our team. A lot of people wanted to some members of our team have been out to your ranch and experienced that and wanted to bring it out here. So tell us about that. What kind of things take place in the workshop?
Well, in the workshop, we're going to show people how to maintain their own self-authority, how to heal unseen negative influences, how to connect with the higher dimensional beings and higher aspects of self. And just a whole overview on who we really are. You know, we're not just this body and this personality. We're multidimensional beings existing on a vibrational continuum. So we teach tools and techniques on how to experience that. And the other beings always come in and assist. So we'll have, you know, probably Pleiadians and the Orion Council of Light and Andromedans and other beings that'll pop in. Hopefully the Syrians will pop in too. So I never know who's going to come in until the workshop. The workshop's kind of geared to the people that are there. And everyone's different. So it's but people walk out of there like a deer in the headlights. So, you know, they go, what just happened? You know, so it's very elevating. You know, it's a life-changing experience.
I know that you use some interesting techniques like table tipping and such, right? What kind of, I know that's one of the things that fascinates a lot of people. How can you tell me how does table tipping actually work, and what sort of experiences have you had using that as a technique?
Well, the reason I use it, just for clarity, when I was with the Tibetan Foundation, I was doing about 95 or 98% accuracy, but most of the channels there were doing about 70 or 75. So there's always 30% of your belief system coming through in the information. So I always tell people channeling is only as clear as the person that is channeling and what level they connected to. Because a lot of people are just channeling their own subconscious, or they're channeling beings on the astral level, which may not even be off the wheel. You know, they might still be on the wheel. They're not ascended masters. So it's a very tricky area to get into, and there's some training necessary so you can bring in really clear information. And what I like about the table, it bypasses the human consciousness and it goes through your physical nervous system. So there's no ego involved, and you have a male-female balance, which allows us to access the highest levels of consciousness and energy. And then it's very accurate. If I'm off, it'll nail me. It'll say no, you know, stop, back up again. And we use it to find out, you know, we create sacred space first and heal any unseen negative influences. We find out how many and what we need to clear. And then we bring the masters in, the guides, and then we find out, you know, what they want to do and who they want to work with and things like that. But it's different for every group. It depends on how large the group is, on what we can do with it. But we use it a lot for transpersonal release sessions, where we go in and we'll clear any unseen negative influences, any attachments, and sever any psychic bonds, or clear up any limiting mental concepts and things like that, or thought forms. And then we go into past lives and clear any of those that need to be cleared. And then we go into the ones that people need to know about that will help them on their journey in this lifetime, or help bring understanding. And then we go from age one and pull any block or pattern, any childhood trauma. And then at the end, there's an initiation. And that's a big life changer. When people go through that, they just get this huge energy coming in. And so Edgar Cayce talked about, like, the river, you know, that's flowing down, you know, through us. And when you pull enough boulders out of the way, the river just comes in, you know. So it's a river of spirit or light and love that comes in. And it's it comes from the top down. A lot of practices start from the bottom up, but this comes from the top down and just clears everything out. And you know, recently we just had one of the top most authorities in PIP technology, Harold Oldfield, his work. And he came to the conferences in Australia, the workshops, and he brought his gear, you know, his gear. And the gear, what it does, it separates the whole electromagnetic light spectrum, and it'll pick up any changes in the field, any energy coming in. It's a very intense technology. And it was kind of interesting because he was kind of a skeptic in a way. He's very scientifically, you know, oriented. And he said he went to a lot of people, a lot of channels, a lot of people, and he said nothing happened. There weren't any changes in the fields. And he was getting really disgruntled by that. And when he came to the workshop, and I'll show this in the workshop, everything that I said was happening showed up on the film, you know, which just blew his mind. So when I said the Pleiadian energy was coming in, the whole room just filled with white light and just cleared out. And then the different groups, when Mary's energy comes in, it turns pink, you know, and they even videotape this. The whole room turns pink and people's bodies pixelate into light. It's just amazing technology. But you can actually see it, you know, on film, what's happening. You can see the healings and the clearings going on, which was amazing. But, you know, he was shocked afterwards. He goes, well, everything you said that was happening showed up on film. It just blew his mind. And And the golden goddess energy, when we brought that in, the whole room just turned gold. The entire room turned gold, and he got that on film as well. So I love it when science, validates this, when they start bridging the gap, you know, between science and spirit, because everything ends in spirit anyway, you know, eventually.
Now, it's interesting. I'm seeing a lot of new technologies coming out that really are sort of bridging that gap between science and spirituality, or the 3D and the 5D. I'm unfamiliar with the PIP technology. Can you talk a little bit more about that? What exactly is that? How does it work?
Well, it's developed by Harold Oldfield, and he created a system that actually just separates the electromagnetic light spectrum. So when you take a film of the room, you can see exactly the energies of the room, you know, what's happening in the room. And so it'll pick up any changes in the room. So if there are beings coming in, higher dimensional beings coming in, it'll reflect that change in the room. So when the golden beings came in, the whole room just turned gold. And I don't know exactly how it works. It's just some real high-tech camera system that can film other frequencies, higher frequencies that the human eye can't see. You know, unless you're clairvoyant, then you see the same thing, you know, because I see the energy coming in too, and the camera actually validates what's going on.
I recently had Steve Richards on my show. Are you familiar with him at all?
No, I'm not. I've been out of the loop lately. I've been traveling so much.
I think he's actually in Australia, but anyhow, he uses this unique modality to clear entities and past life traumas from people's energy field. And now he's quite well known and respected in this field, and he has his opinion on channeling is that it really shouldn't be done. And as you know, we've got a number of intuitive channels at our upcoming expo, and I work with a lot of intuitive channels, and I can kind of tell the distinction. But even from your viewpoint, do you think all channeling is adverse or negative, or what? How do you know? Because there are so many people out there channeling, and I've seen one person channeling some one particular entity, and another person channeling the same one, and they have very different messages. Some feel very heavy and negative, while the other ones are very positive. What do you feel about that?
Well, I actually, in my book, San Reunion Resource, I believe, yeah, I think it's in that book, I wrote a whole chapter on that, like safeguards for pure channeling. And there is training involved. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people that never received any training, and they just open up to anything that comes along. And so some people may be channeling a being from the astral level or their own subconscious, and it's not really a Christed master, but it's just an error that they made. They're not aware. They're not usually out to do anything wrong. It's just that they never really received any training. But I always say that the first thing before we do anything, before I teach anything, the first thing I teach is how to heal unseen negative influences and how to maintain your space and inner sensitivity training. And what's sad is that's just not taught in most environments. You know, they skip that altogether. And we have a saying, just because you're dead doesn't mean you're enlightened. And just because you're an ET doesn't mean you're benevolent, you know? So, because there are beings that are not in our highest and best good that we need to maintain our self-authority and set boundaries with. And you know, you can go by basic universal law. You know, are these beings full of love and joy and bliss? Are they self-empowering? Are they getting you to go inward and make your own personal connection with spirit or source? You know, what is their motive? You know, and the energy, you can just sense the energy. If you're not feeling the high frequencies of love and joy and bliss, you have to honor that. You know, it comes with inner sensitivity training. If you're getting gut punched or you're not feeling good in the presence of the energy, it's a good indicator that, you know, it's probably time to switch channels, you know. But
do you think channeling, as we're going into the 5D, fifth dimensional experience, do you think channeling is just some people at an earlier stage of development are starting to connect to these higher dimensions and just simply communicating with consciousnesses that are interacting on that level? I mean, is it more like just like talking to somebody who's standing next to you, but for people who don't channel, they're not connected to that yet?
Yeah, it's part of the awakened healing process on the planet. The whole planet is raising in frequency. And, you know, this isn't channel information anymore. This is like NASA information that's coming out. And they're showing the energy charts of what's going on the planet. And we're just getting slammed with gamma rays and cosmic rays. And it's just off the charts right now. And that creates those aha moments where you have that direct knowing, or you open up into the higher dimensions and things of that nature. And I've just seen some people by their nature, there's an old saying, the mind in which you seek is the mind in which you connect. So if people are going into it because they want notoriety or they want, sense gratification or money or whatever, if they're going into it for the wrong reasons, then they attract those kind of entities to them, you know, the same type of entities. And sometimes they'll go into it in error and just make a mistake and hook up with the wrong kind of beings, you know. So it all goes back to training, you know, and inner sensitivity training and using discernment. And anybody that goes to these people, you know, what's sad, I see people just want to give all their authority over to these external sources. And it's very disempowering. Unfortunately, the field of ufology, it's replete with that. You know, there's people up on stage kind of prancing around and saying, I'm the Messiah, listen to me, I'll tell you what's happening next and everything else. And they're not empowering people to have their own contact or make their own personal connection with spirit or source. And again, it's always external. If it's, you know, you'll hear them say, I did this. It's all I, you know, you won't hear very many we's, you know, in the Native American culture, I'm part Cherokee. It's we, you know, there is no I, you know, there's always we because everything's one. And, you know, I always give credit to the people that help me along this path that work with me, you know. So people go, why do you say we all the time? I said, because I don't do this alone. You know, I'm not alone in this process. But I just think there's an extreme need for discernment right now in all of those fields. You know, it's almost like politics now in the spiritual field. You know, you got to use extreme discernment, you know, all the way through, because it's sad, but a lot of the top people on the totem pole, you might say, are not who you think they are. And if you watch what they do in their lives off stage, you know, it's a good indicator. Just do some research and see where their money comes with, see who they hang out with, and see how they act off stage and how they treat the people around them. And right away, that'll tell you, you know, forget about the stage presence, you know, look behind the veil or behind the, like in the Wizard of Oz, you know, look behind the curtain.
Well, let's talk about the solar activity, because right now there's a solar eclipse happening as we're filming this today. Mm-hmm. And of course, there's been a lot of awakening happening over the last several solar eclipses, more intensely than normal. And I've with a lot of the intuitive channels I work with, as well as people I've been speaking with, it seems like that awakening is becoming more and more intense, and this particular one is supposed to be a very significant one. And mm-hmm. So a lot of people are struggling with it as well. Do you know anything about this eclipse and how it is impacting people and the awakening of consciousness, or anything that you can share about that?
Well, it's like a switch, you know, and you know, you flip the switch and then you flip it back on again, and a big surge goes through. In a way, that's the easiest analogy of it. But the sun is extremely active right now. What's happening is our solar system is moving to a highly energized place in space. And as we move, and we have other suns interacting, Alcyon and other suns, and there's actually more bands in the ultraviolet range, infrared range. There's a lot more energy coming in. But the cosmic rays and the gamma rays, those are the ones that actually create DNA changes and huge awakenings in the brain. And you'll kick the brain up to like beyond 30 to 50 hertz, even higher. And that's when you go into those huge aha moments. And that's what these gamma ray bursts, you know, from the sun do. So it's like we're just getting pummeled by this energy, and it's forcing us to awaken. And what I see is that's the one thing the Illuminati is so afraid of, is people figuring things out and waking up and seeing them, you know, for who they are and what they've done. And but that it's unstoppable. You can't stop this process from happening. So, you know, I always say I'm not against anybody, but, you know, these guys are not frequency specific to where the Earth is evolving to. So they are going to implode, and they're going to have serious, you know, physical challenges, health challenges. And if they don't shift their energies and realign with the awakened healing process and also shift their assets and their resources in that direction, they're not going to make it, you know, because, you know, tyranny is a very heavy energy. It's a very dense energy. When you have a closed heart, that's going to be amplified, and that heart is just going to constrict even more with these energies. And so you'll see a lot of heart attacks and a lot of serious health problems, you know, with these people. And it's just the universe's way of you know, moving to the next level and kind of cleaning up the mess down here.
Now, have you actually seen any science or any research that's been done into the effects of gamma radiation on genetics?
Actually, in my talk, I'm going to show charts on that from NASA, and that actually show the effects of, especially of cosmic rays and gamma rays, and how they affect human consciousness and what they do there. I'm going to cover that. Now, the other stuff, there are some scientists that cover that. I probably should get their information. I haven't got in, but I should have that as a resource for people to check it out, because there are a lot of people that are geneticists that say, oh, there's no changes in the DNA or anything else. But these kids are showing more codons activated, especially the younger kids coming in. There's a huge upgrade in genetics happening. But they've also proven with monks that people that live a spiritual life, they do a lot of meditation, that a lot more of their DNA is actually activated. And so that's kind of a common knowledge research out there. But I think I'll do some research before, so I can give links to these, to that kind of work, because I've had people ask me that before.
Yeah, we're a brainy bunch, so you may want to come prepared for that.
Yeah.
So when you're talking about DNA being activated, are we referring to some of our latent genes, say from the Anunnaki or other extraterrestrial civilizations? I know you've talked a lot about in previous conversations we've had, and also on your presentations, mm-hmm. about how human beings contain a lot of extraterrestrial DNA. So yeah. Are these gamma rays and other solar radiation affecting that awakening and activating those latent abilities?
It is. It's activating. The sun is doing a major part in activating, but it's also bursts from other systems. I think we were getting like five or burst gamma ray bursts a day, and we're up to like 50. I don't know where it's, somebody told me that they have meters they're measuring. It's just off the scale right now as far as gamma bursts that are hitting the planet. But there is a definite, you know, relationship between that and the DNA activation that's going on. Now, there's other DNA. There's like codons being activated and strands and things like that. And I work with a biophysicist, a German biophysicist. He's got like 9 PhDs. You know, this guy's wisdom's off the chart. But he goes into the higher dimensional stuff. And so it's not just things happening on the physical DNA, there's other things that are opening up, like telepathy, that one of those DNA lines are opening up, the ability to have direct knowing, where you just know things, you don't know why, you're just aware of things, which is going to be really hard for the politicians coming up, you know, because everybody's being activated and their bullshit meter's being turned on. And hope I can say that on the air, hope I didn't get in trouble. But the energies that are coming in are activating the attributes that come with enlightenment, you might say. So being able to see forward into the future and back into the past is one of those attributes that are being activated. And then also the ability to bilocate and things of that nature. At the ranch, when we do a lot of the practices, we have a lot of photographs, and I'll show those at the event, of people actually disappearing. You can see right through them, and then they just vanish. And what's interesting is they've vanished to us, but they're fully aware of us. So when you're in the higher dimensions, you're fully aware of the lower dimensions, but the lower dimensions are not aware of the higher dimensions, you know, unless you're trained or or clairvoyant. And so you can move out of frequency and you'll be sitting there thinking nothing happened. Everybody freaks out because you're gone. And the next thing you know it, you know, you pop back in again and you didn't even know it happened. From your perspective, you wouldn't even be aware that you just phased out.
So what you're talking about then is that these genetic changes may not be taking place in a three-dimensional DNA as our science is typically trained to look for, but it's actually happening in a multidimensional level. Just like these people who are disappearing, our DNA also exists on multiple levels, and those changes may be happening on those other levels. We just don't have the equipment to test it yet. Just like the PIP technology, in the near future, we may have the equipment to test it and to be able to see it. And so a lot of these things I hear about, like 12-strand DNA and so on, that intuitive channels are talking about, could be happening on multiple dimensions, even though we don't physically see it here. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, well, we have a body within a body all the way back to the source. And so we have a less dense physical body where a lot of things are happening. And then we have others, and that's what we merge with, you know, when we do these practices. So it's happening on all the other levels. It's like the source itself or our higher dimensional selves are pressing down into this dimension, and this dimension has to shift and adapt to that code or that pattern. And so, you know, DNA is just a pattern. It's a code. You know, it's where'd the code come from? It came from consciousness, you know? So the code's being rewritten and it's pressing down in on the earth. Now, a lot of these kids I know do have, physical changes in their DNA, and they are measuring it. A lot of the indigo kids and the golden childs that are being born right now, and the crystal children, everybody has a different name for them. But what I see with a lot of these kids is that you don't want to pigeonhole them, because if you take photographs of their aura, you know, you'll see one will have all this green in his aura. And so he's a healer, you know, he's here as a healer. And so what do you call him, a green kid? You know, I don't know, you know, it's like, or purple, you know, which is the highest, you know, high wisdom, high spiritual wisdom in their aura. Or violet was to change, you know. And so, you know, some people are here to just bring change, you know, and that's that you can see that in their auric field, like what they're here for. So, and your work changes. It's always changing too. So it's depending on what you're learning or what you're working through. But most people have kind of a base colors in their aura that they have, you know, that they carry with them. So it's interesting watching that. I find something very interesting with science is that they actually recognize at least 11 dimensions. And they some are up to 26 and some are up to even more, you know, dimensions. It's actually infinite. But they recognize, at least everyone will agree, there are at least 11 more dimensions out there. And we can see a very small sliver and experience in our 3D world is such a small sliver. It's like less than 1% of the universe out there. But the scientists all want that 1% as proof of interdimensional, other dimensional realities, which are non-physical. And it doesn't make sense, but they're so programmed to go in that direction. And so it's totally illogical to demand physical evidence from non-physical experiences. And so we have to get out of that mindset. And what I found out with a lot of people, they go, well, you need discernment. You know, you need to know what's real. Well, imagination is real on the level of imagination, because everybody's creating their own reality. So whatever you're thinking, you're manifesting on some level. So when you look at that perspective, you can relax your judgment and just say, well, you know, whatever you want to experience, that's your experience. You know, some experiences may not be in your highest and best good. They might be really uncomfortable. So you might want to let those go and try something else. But that's how you learn. That's how you gain the wisdom through experience. But that's what I found out. It helps me stay out of judgment when people tell me their stories, because you know, I've got some crazy stories that I've experienced, and to most mainstream people, they'll go, this guy's loony bins, you know, this guy's nuts. But what's funny is I do have top psychologists on university levels sending people to me and actually coming to me for their own clearing, you know, when they hit the wall and they can't go into past lives or you know, possessions or, you know, any kind of negative ET stuff, and they can't go into that. and because their profession won't, their guidelines won't allow them to, but they know there's something beyond, you know, their ability to work with happening. And so they send people all the time to do clearings. But, you know, I had one university professor came up and he said, there's no way you can do that. There's no way you can clear all that stuff. He said, that takes years and years of therapy. And I said, well, you can't really make that statement unless you've experienced it. And so, you know, I said, you're doing the armchair investigation. You're making statements without having the experience. And so he brought a couple of people, his worst clients, and we cleared them up and they're just all blissed out and having a good time. And so he tried to do it himself. You know, he sat down in the chair himself and you know, I can't mention his name, but, you know, because of the therapy rules and regulations, but a minute later, he was like in a fetal position, like crying, you know, like a little baby, because everything was coming up for him, which is great. You know, when people start crying, I go, awesome, you know, a tear's worth a thousand years of karma. They're releasing it. And so that the energy just comes in and does what it does, you know, and I don't take credit for what happens and I don't take blame if nothing happens, you know, it's just, I'm just a conduit. And it's up to the people how much energy they want to experience, you know, and what happens. But, you know, I'd say 99.9% of the time people have a major shift happen, you know, with them, you know, major healing.
Yeah, can you share one of your crazy personal experiences that you alluded to a minute ago?
Well, boy, which one? I can share some that have a lot of backup. One, we have the supposedly legendary Bigfoot isn't really a legend up there at the ranch. And I've had several experiences with him, but Clyde Lewis with Ground Zero Radio came up there and he brought an engineer to test everything, you know? And so we went out in the Skywatch field and all these ships coming in and he had all the satellite sites up on his computer. And he's going, not a satellite, not a satellite. And then he just kept coming in and powering up and turning and everything. Else, so you know, that was good to have him experience that. But in the morning he came out of the guest house and we have this juvenile Bigfoot that hangs around there, and he ran right up to him and skidded and stopped and smiled at him and took off running the other way. And so he said, he goes, I'm not going to talk about this. There's no way I'm going to talk about this. Nobody will believe me. Everybody's going to, you know, think I'm nuts and everything else. And so I took photographs of the footprints and you can tell it's definitely not a human footprint because it has a hinged foot like an ape. And so, you know, when I showed him the photographs, it finally goes, okay, I'm going to talk about it. So he went on the air and he talked about it. So there was three witnesses plus a major talk show host, you know, that got to see that experience. So those, I had one time I had a beam come through the wall and hit me in the chest, and I have photographs of the mark it left where I was pulled right up out of my body on a ship, and then three gold balls of energy hit me in the chest, and it was all my memories returned to me, and a lot of past life memories, other world memories, you know, in the Pleiades and other systems. And so what's interesting on that one, when that happened, when the ship came in, it was a plasma ship, pure golden plasma ship. And when it came in, it drained all the cars, the batteries, all the RVs, everything was dead, you know, that were out in the field. So, and it shook them. The whole place was vibrating. The house, everything was vibrating when it came in. But, you know, that's another experience. But I can go on and on. I've had so many experiences now. It's just, you know, from face-to-face encounters with these benevolent ETs to some serious, you know, altercations with some malevolent ones as well.
So tell me about Bigfoot. Is it, is that a Neanderthal being or is it some other species? What do you know?
A lot of people have different theories on that. I mean, Lloyd Pye, bless his heart, you know, he's crossed over, but he says, I think it was Gigantus epithecus or something like that. Some name he gave it, which was this giant ape, and it's not an ape. When you see its face, it's more human, and it's very advanced. They're very, very spiritually advanced, but they live in nature, and they're ultra sensitive, and they're kind of the height of the nature kingdom, but they just evolved in a different direction. And when they found the DNA experiments where they've gotten hairs and things like that, they found it's more human, much more human than ape. And then there are some other genetics in there that they found that, you know, I'm not even sure if they can identify some of them, like off-world stuff or something. But I've been trying to find out what the other DNA is, and they're keeping a tight lip on that, on the samples, but I haven't heard yet. But the the thing about the Native Americans have a saying here. They say, you know, if you go out searching for Bigfoot, you'll never find him. But if Bigfoot wants to find you, he will. And so it's all about consciousness. If you go out there with the right consciousness and you send a telepathic message from the heart, you know, and if you're sincere and you have a pure intent, an open mind and a loving heart, a good chance if they're in the area, they'll come find you. You know, they'll come see you. They'll let you see them and make themselves known to you.
Now, Lloyd did a lot of research about the Star Child skull and a lot of genetic research as well, which was quite revolutionary at the time. Have you actually, do you know what race that of being that is, and have you encountered any of them personally?
I think that was a hybrid. My experience was a hybrid. What's funny is Lloyd brought the skull, you know, to show everybody the skull, and he gave it to a bunch of people to do readings on the skull. And when he handed it to me, I said, I know what this is, but I'm not getting anything from it. I said, I've seen this before. I know what it is, but I said, I'm not getting anything from it. It's just dead. You know, there's nothing coming off of it. And it turned out that was a replica that he was passing around, you know? So it was kind of funny that, you know, a lot of people were giving these elaborate readings by holding the skull and everything. You know, it was kind of funny. But, you know, he often did things like that, just tests, you know, and things like that. But, you know, he started smiling afterwards. He goes, yeah, he goes, there's not, he goes, it's plastic. I think it was a replica. And it looked very realistic, you know, very realistic. But it definitely looked like kind of a hybrid, you know, type of thing between a gray and a human.
I think it said it was a female human, was it? And a male gray,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, male gray and a female human.
Mm-hmm. Now, what effect with all the solar radiation and gamma rays and everything we just talked about and how it's causing an awakening in the global consciousness, what effect are chemtrails having on that awakening? Is it suppressing that or slowing it down, or do you think it's going to happen regardless?
Well, it's going to happen regardless, but they are doing everything they can to suppress it. And chemtrails is part of that. And, you know, when you're sick, you're not really going to be tuning into spirit. And it's kind of weird, but usually if you're in pain or you're sick, it really distracts you from going within, you know, and getting connected. I think there's much more sinister thing to the chemtrails because it's like a slow kill. Everything they're spraying up there is accumulative, and it's heavy metals, it's toxic, it's radioactive. It's like whoever's behind this are either some of the stupidest people on the planet, or they're here for reasons that are definitely tied into the global agenda for population control. And there's new things added all the time in these chemtrails and endocrine disruptors and all these things they're putting, you know, in the chemtrails. And a lot of people are having very serious health effects from the chemtrails, because you'll see right after they spray heavy, all of a sudden everybody starts having upper respiratory problems. They have muscle and joint pain. They have the intestinal tract shuts down. You know, it's like really serious problems, and it just gets worse and worse the more they spray. So everybody says, you know, we won, you know, it's over, the battle's over, you know, the light ones are here and everything else. I said, well, when the chemtrails stop, that's when you won. So watch the skies when they stop, that's when it's over.
Now, we've had Michael J. Murphy out here, and he's been on my show a couple times, and he's doing some incredible work and research in that field. But one thing I haven't, and he mentioned this briefly last time we talked, but have you ever come across any way to clear the body of these toxins, any kind of supplements or dietary regimen, or, mm-hmm. Do you know of any?
Yeah, basically anything, any detox methods that you can get rid of the heavy metals out of your system. One thing, I've been away from it because I've been traveling, but Langenberg oxygen water is just amazing. And it's super oxygenated water. It has crystallized oxygen in it. And when you drink it, it's like prawn in a bottle. You get really high. It's the you know, oxygen's the best immune booster you can get, you know, in your system. So if you can raise the body pH and raise the oxygen levels, it even backs, you know, cancer out. Cancer's anaerobic. But, you know, you can't make any of these claims. I'm not saying that this water does this because you can't make these claims, but it's a no-brainer. You know, Otto Warburg in 1929 said all you have to do is raise the body, the blood pH and oxygen levels in the body, and cancer can't exist. And so the research has been out there since 1929, but it's been totally ignored by, you know, big pharma and things like that. But, you know, another thing, you know, all the doctors that are dying, I'm not sure where we're at right now. I think it's at least 33 doctors have been killed because they found out that a lot of the things, the Nogalese in the inoculations totally shuts down the immune system. You can't fight cancer. We're always fighting cancer. We always have some in us, you know, that's being cleaned up. And so that's in the inoculations, but in that research, they came across that, by accident because they were looking for a cure for cancer. And by looking for a cure, they found out what was causing it. And so one of the serious problems we're having right now, and that's why they've killed off 33 of them, because they came up with a thing called GMAC. I'm not sure what it stands for, but it's some injections that you get. You might be able to get in a supplement, I'm not sure yet, but it actually totally knocks cancer on its ear. You know, it cleans it right out of your system. But they're having such a good success rate with it that, you know, all these doctors seem to be suiciding themselves, you know, and dropping dead. You know, it's very sad when that's allowed. It's like everything, you know, we've got this just incredible corporate greed going on, and they've got their hitmen and their people to establish the, keep the status quo going, but that's just falling apart right now. But for our society to allow that to happen, to have 33 doctors killed by the people that want to keep the cancer industry going, I think that's, it doesn't speak very well of this civilization. I mean, there should be some major investigation into this. They should find out, you know, who is behind it and just go after them and you know, let the karma take its role, you know, there. But, you know, there's a lot, same thing with free energy. You know, we've had free energy for a long time since Tesla, even before that. And where is it? You know, why isn't it out there? But it is coming out. It's coming out all over the planet right now. There's all kinds of people actually building autos. They're going to go into production of autos pretty soon that are going to be running on water, or there'll be like an electric car driven by a free energy device. So all that stuff, it's already here. It's already on the ground. You know, it's just a matter of getting it out there.
Is it reasonable to assume that a certain number of human beings are immune to the effects of chemtrails and vaccines and GMOs just because their consciousness is higher, and as consciousness starts to increase with the collective, all of human civilization, that mm-hmm. more and more people are going to be immune to those things?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these younger kids right now have immune systems that are off the scale and nothing affects them. I mean, you could inject them with AIDS and it would just eat it up. And I know some people that do a lot of spiritual practices that, you know, a lot of them smoke, but it doesn't affect them because the nicotine doesn't even get into the cell. They have their cells are so lit up and shielded. So everybody's different. I know with me, if I see people out there just drinking and smoking and staying up all night and things like that. And I don't know, if I did that, I'd be dead in a couple of years probably. You know, I can't put that kind of stuff in my system, but, you know, I'm just amazed at how some people just keep going and it just doesn't affect them. You know, usually down the road it will, you know, eventually, but I know one thing is I don't drink and I don't, you know, the only time I ever smoked tobacco is in a ceremony, you know, if I'm with some elders or something, but that's about it. You know, I have a cup of coffee in the morning. And that's about, you know, I'm sure I have some vices, if you call them vices, but, you know, but, yeah, you know, I just, it's amazing how some people just are impervious. You know, they have a constitution or something in their body that they can handle this stuff.
Let's talk about free energy for a moment. And I'd like to know what you see coming out or coming down the line or any projects that you've been involved with. And also, but let's start with, there's a lot of controversy about Keshe, and I followed his work from quite a while ago, and like anybody else in the alternative movements, was really excited to see what appeared to be some really breakthrough things coming down the line. Now, I've personally not seen anything, and there's a lot of controversy around that. What's your feeling on it, and are you aware of whether or not there's actually anything happening there?
Well, I was working with one of the key people there, and you know, he put a video out where he was giving the people the motors. They're actually done. He's putting them in boxes and giving them out to people. I haven't talked to any of those people yet to see if that actually worked or not. I don't have firsthand information, but I mean, it was pretty well orchestrated if it was a hoax, because all these people came up from different nations and got the technology, you know, and the memory stick that had all the information on it, on how it works and everything else. I did get involved in some of the plasma energy things that he was talking about with some people that were very close to him. And we did experiments with it, and it worked. It did generate electricity. And so, you know, from what I saw, I was going, boy, you could, you know, upsize this thing and make it bigger and, you know, get some big copper sheets and treat them the same way. And I know you'd probably generate all kinds of electricity, but the from what I saw and from our experiments, it did check out. And that's all I'd say. But I don't know on the higher levels, the motors and everything else. I don't, you know, I'm in line. I want to get one and have it and run it and make sure it works and everything else, because that's my dream. At the ranch, at East Eddy Ranch, to create a template, you know, where we're living in total harmony with nature and each other and living a spiritual life, but also bringing in the earth-friendly technology and become totally self-sufficient. And as a template, you know, people can come there and go, wow, this works, you know. And we've already done a lot of that. People come to the ranch and the energy is so high there, and people just have huge awakenings. They step on the ranch and they go, this is home. You know, this is like, I feel like I'm home finally. But, you know, we have huge gardens and things of that nature, and have the conference building where we do all kinds of conferences and workshops, and, you know, people from all over the world come there that to do lectures. But you know, all that's in place. But the one thing we're missing at the ranch, I think, is the free energy. We haven't incorporated that yet. And I think we need more art and music, and then we'll be really balanced out. Then I'll feel really comfortable with what's going on.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of hope in that area in terms of free energy. There's a news report about this young child who, I think about with $14, he just took a bunch of random materials he had laying around the house and mm-hmm. built this antenna that was collecting all the microwave transmissions and everything in the environment. And he used that to generate electricity and a bunch of LEDs. So, and he's just a young child. So this is just showing the possibilities of what's coming. And it may be the young children who grow up to actually further these technologies. So what are you actually seeing in terms of, I know you work with, or you're familiar with a number of inventors. Are you seeing anything that's really breakthrough or incredible that we may see in mass production in the future?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's things right now where they're actually taking Rolls-Royce engines, the big jet engines, and running them on water and generating electricity. And there's actually plants that they've already installed. The one person I know, I think I can go public with it. I'll ask him and make sure I can go public with it. But he bought a coal plant and took out all the coal generating apparatus, and he put his apparatus in there in a Rolls-Royce engine, and it's generated a massive amount of electricity, which proves that we don't need nuclear energy anymore. You know, you can do it with water and generate, you know, even more. But, I mean, and that's dinosaur technology compared to what this guy has. Because, you know, I held a device in my hand And I had several scientists there with me at the time, Walter Rosenthal, who unfortunately passed over. He's a NASA rocket scientist and other people. But, you know, I've held devices in my hand that had 9 coils and each coil put out 25,000 watts. And it was as small as a small pie dish and ice cold when it was operating. And, you know, we hooked up all these power sources, like power strips to it and plugged in everything we could, tried to kill this thing. We couldn't kill it. And it just, we had everybody after us. We tried to get this out in the 90s and finally it just got shelved just because we had so many death threats from so many different groups. And even the groups that are trying to get this energy out that supposedly are, a lot of them are actually still working with the government and things. So they're just like conduits for people to bring all their devices to so the government can find out who you are and what you're building, you know. So, you know, and there's other people out there that are taking huge amounts of money and they're saying they're going to gear this towards free energy, but it's going into their own personal accounts and their own vacations and things like that. So there's a whole lot of that going on, you know, as well. So I think when we have some kind of a system in place that's going to protect these people, and we have people of high integrity that are focused on, you know, the awakening and healing of humanity, the earth versus their own pocketbook, then these things are going to come out. But it's really hard to find an investor that's going to really put his assets on the line to back these things, because, you know, they know everybody's going to be coming after them. You know, they don't want to, you know, end up in a body bag or losing all their assets because of the powers that are actually collapsing right now are coming after them.
So this is the end of part one of the interview between James Gilliland and Ethan Fox that was previously recorded on Awake and Empowered TV, which is Ethan Fox's program. As you've noticed from all the different topics that James and Ethan covered, they really went in depth on a lot of important areas and topics that are under discussion perhaps with most of you at the current changes and shifts that are happening in 3D and beyond at this point. James will be at the Awaken Empowered Expo in Detroit. That's Ethan's annual conference, and that takes place March 18th to 20th, and the best place to find out information is awakeandempoweredexpo.com. It's perfect timing for us to play this part one of the interview tonight because the special early bird price to attend that conference actually will be going up at midnight on March 14th, which is Monday. So I believe that's between Sunday night and Monday morning. So as you set your clocks ahead tonight, those of you that are in areas that have daylight savings time, don't forget on Sunday to take a look at the awakenempoweredexpo.com website. And if you're drawn to it, if your higher self draws you to attend, please do take advantage of James, Laura Eisenhower, Winston Shrout, Ethan Fox, and many others being in Detroit in the Midwest with your opportunity to see them personally. The second part of this interview will air next weekend, which will be Saturday, March 19th. James will actually be live at the Awaken Empowered Expo next weekend, so he won't be able to do a radio show. But there's much more information to come that Ethan and James discussed, including black helicopters and many more important facts. Again, remember, James will be at the Awaken Empowered Expo, March 18th to the 20th. You can find the tickets at awakenempoweredexpo.com, and the price does go up midnight Monday, March 14th. I also wanted to let you know that we've been working diligently on the SETI event website. Things take a lot longer than you think they're going to. But as of today, Saturday, available for registration and booking are our opening Skywatch weekend, which is May 12th. That's when you can come out casually for one night or more and enjoy Skywatch and some of the other activities that we have going on at the ranch. You can stay at the ranch or stay locally. All the information is at privateinvitationeseti.com. Also open now for registration for those of you that have been asking and being patient, which I'm very grateful for. We have the first workshop of the year, which is Aurelian and Angelica's Higher Self Connection and Quantum Healing Hypnosis Workshop, which is May 19th through the 22nd. And that workshop is about connecting in with your higher self, getting that deeper connection so you know your own truth, so you can empower yourself to receive the answers. It will include meditations and teachings, and we'll also have group regressions where you can ask questions of your own higher self, and that is based on the work by the beautiful Dolores Cannon. The weekend after, which is Memorial Day weekend, we have James Gilliland's Ambassador Training. And that will take place the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of Memorial Day weekend. It is James's signature workshop, and registration for that is now open, and you can find that information at privateinvitationesetti.com. We've also opened up the registration for ESETI's annual conference, happening this year over the July 4th weekend. It will actually start on Thursday, June 30th, go through Sunday, July 3rd. And on Monday, July 4th, our amazing presenters will do their private sessions and teach their mini workshops. We do have an early bird registration special. You can find that information at privateinvitationesetti.com. And the early bird registration ends March 28th. So if you do need to kind of budget a little bit and you know you want to come out to Trout Lake, Washington, which is beautiful in the summertime, it's really beautiful anytime, you can go ahead and go to privateinvitationesetti.com and sign up for the early bird special for the ESETI conference. There's information there about accommodation locally. During our conference, our accommodations are all taken up by our presenters, but you're invited to go ahead and camp. There's information on the donations for camping on the website, as well as information for local accommodation. If you are thinking about coming out for the conference, and if you have to budget a little bit, I recommend that first you book your accommodation, because if you do need a hotel room, if you're not as comfortable with camping, that time of the year fills up pretty quickly out in Trout Lake and the surrounding areas. So you can always book your accommodation first, find that, and then come back and book your actual conference registration. We're usually pretty good until about the end of May, and that's when things start getting a little bit closer. We have a limited capacity of how many people can actually attend the conference. On the website is also information about James's transpersonal release sessions, Joseph's quantum shamanic healing, my spiritual counseling, and body work with James Gilliland. So I hope you enjoyed tonight's interview. Again, this is Ashley from the ESETI crew, did the opening and the close to the conversation between James Gilliland and Ethan Fox. And remember, part two will air next Saturday, which is March 19th, 2016. In the meantime, while we're still in 3D, we have to worry about time, so don't forget to change your clocks if you live in an area that requires that. Continue to look up in the skies, and more importantly, look deep into your own heart. And remember the master that you are. Aloha and good night.